The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Did you watch the Oscars? Could you force yourself to sit down and watch the Oscars? I didn't. I saw a few snippets, but I wanted to talk with someone who did. He's a film critic. His name is Christian Toto. He's the founder of HollywoodInToto.com. You should check it out. He's going to review the Oscars for us, plus give us a look ahead at what's coming down the pike and some other assessments of actors, films, streaming projects, stuff you might want to know about. That is all coming up next.
Welcome to the Michelle Tafoya podcast.
Christian Toto, it's great to have you back on the podcast. It's been a while. Obviously, the Oscars just happened within the past week. Oppenheimer was the big winner. Were you in agreement with the awards given?
Generally, yes. I think it was a decent year for film. None of the awards were shocking or, oh my gosh, that person didn't deserve that. So I think we're all on solid ground there. I think the bigger surprise is that the show itself wasn't terrible. you know, listen, it's 3.5 hours or just a tick under, so they still can't fix that. Yeah. But it was not nearly as political as it's been in the past. There were some joyous sequences. There just seemed to be a different spirit involved. And I really have to think that there's some messaging behind the scenes, and not just with the Oscars, the Emmys, the Golden Globes. We've seen a few recent shows where not that political, more a focus on the joy, nostalgia, entertainment. And yeah. I say bring it. So that's a good sign.
It is a good sign. And I think you're right. I did watch the Grammys. My daughter enjoys the Grammys. So I'm sort of, I'll watch along with her. And I noticed that as well. And it is a welcome change. If they want to get their ratings back up, they better stop alienating half the country, I think is the message there. But
absolutely.
Clearly they saw what effect that was having on the ratings and they wanted to rebound from that. One of the funnier moments, I guess, was at the very end when they had the actor dog urinate on Matt Damon's star on the Walk of Fame. Matt Damon and Jimmy Kimmel have this ongoing faux feud. It's a funny little thing. For you, what were some of the brighter moments? I know John Cena, Cena came out nude.
Yeah. So that, you know, there's great setup there. So I think it was 50 years ago, David Niven was giving out an award and a streaker broke in, ran past him. And, you know, you can actually find the clip on YouTube if you're curious about it. So they wanted to pay homage to that moment. And of course, John Cena comes out. He's a pretty fit guy. He's a wrestler, ex-wrestler, I guess you could say. I don't know what, if he's going back and forth now. And it was funny. And, you know, I think over the years, recent years, we've seen a lot of these bits that just don't land, that aren't funny, that are belabored, that make this long show even longer. But that was just one of the few moments that I thought, okay, funny, quick. It paid tribute to an old Oscars telecast. It works. And, you know, I think we need more of that. And so I enjoyed that. There was another very funny moment. They had a twins reunion of sorts with Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger. And that was good and cute and funny. But then they were both talking about how they were playing bat villains back in the day. And guess who's seating in one of the front rows is Michael Keaton. So they have like this exchange. Keaton's doing the Batman stare. Again, just funny, light, enjoyable. That's what these shows should be all about. Yeah. They have drifted away from that. Maybe they're coming back. We'll have to wait and see. But so far, I'll take it.
Yeah. It makes you wonder if society in general is drifting away from that. But it's hard to imagine that given how polarized we remain. And we're in an election year, right? We're in a presidential, a major election year. So things continue to be pronounced. Here's one thing that, Christian, I just didn't get. And maybe I'm not the audience. But the Barbie movie, I tried to watch it. I tried to rent it here at home. And I got about 10, 15 minutes in and I was done. This movie has A lot of people really loved it. Others, not so much. What does that movie, do you think, tell us about where we are in the world and society right now? What did the success or failure of that movie tell you about who we are?
There's a lot to read into it. One, spectacular marketing. They really made it a mystery. Like, what is this movie about, actually? So all the trailers and all the teasers and all the commercials and all the clips, it didn't really spill out the story. I think that was smart. Also, I think there's a cultural heft that this actually has, because people do care about this doll. They've had it for generations. So I think that mattered to people. I think they made this movie, seeing it, an event. People, women would go and they'd go with their girlfriends. They dress in pink. And yeah. so they made it something more than a movie. But then when you talk about the movie itself, I find your reaction funny, because I actually thought the beginning was the best part, and it goes downhill from there. So I didn't quite get it, but it's beautiful people. It's larger than life. It has some comic beats. It just caught the zeitgeist. And as much as I think the movie stumbles, I do appreciate the fact that it did bring people back to the theaters in huge numbers. And end of the day, I'm a movie guy. I like that. I like anything that kind of rallies us to go back to theaters and stop streaming for 5 minutes. So it's a complicated thing. And, you know, as much as I say, I mean, I literally wrote the book on woke Hollywood, Virtue Bombs, but that was a pretty woke movie and it was very successful. It is the exception. It probably proves the rule, but it was woke. It was feminist. It was in your face and it made a gazillion dollars.
Yeah, it did make a gazillion dollars. And I even had some men say to me on X or wherever, oh, you need to watch it, if only for America Ferrera's, you know, speech. And I'm not into that kind of thing. So I didn't respond, but I'm in the minority. Let's get back to Oppenheimer for a minute, because one of the reasons I've been reticent to go see it or even to rent it is that it's extremely long by today's standards. And I've heard that it jumps around a lot and can be difficult to follow. Is it worth all of that to go see it?
You know, it is on a few levels. One, it's such a monumental story. But what director Christopher Nolan brings is just extreme craftsmanship to every element of the movie. It's the impeccable acting, it's the production design, it's the music, it's the dialogue. It is filmmaking at its highest point. Having said all that, I found it a little bit emotionally cool. Like, it's not a movie that you love in a sort of you connect with characters, and I wanted more of that. So I have some quibbles with the movie, but it is an achievement. It was an art house movie that also made a gazillion dollars. Yeah. So I think that was a good compromise, because often the Oscar movies, the best picture winners, make 10 million, 20 million, a very small amount, meaning that no one saw it, but everyone saw Oppenheimer for the most part, you know, present company excluded. So I have no problem with it at all. Christopher Nolan is a great director. He's one of the few people who, if it's a Christopher Nolan film, people go out and see it just based on him, his name recognition. You know, Steven Spielberg used to be that way, but even his recent films haven't really drawn a big crowd. So he's a special talent. He's really dedicated. He really does care. He's not woke. He just working at the peak of his game. And for all those reasons, I'm happy it won.
Very, very interesting. I don't know if I'll ever get around to seeing it. I love Cillian Murphy. I think he's a wonderful actor. I've loved, you know, what he's done on television. Speaking of television, are you partaking in Masters of the Air?
You know, I'm not. I've been so busy with award season and I'm always catching new projects on screen. Sometimes my TV viewing falls behind, but I am very curious about that. Have you been able to catch up with it?
Yes, we are. I don't know how well into it we are. We're probably 7 episodes in. You know, it's billed as a kind of a follow-up to Band of Brothers, and which was so tremendous. I'm assuming you saw that.
Yeah, when it first aired, yeah.
Yeah.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Tremendous. And I didn't see that until within the last year. So I really have a kind of this close timing of comparison. So it doesn't rise to that yet. Mm-hmm. And there are some moments where my husband and I looked at each other and went, whoa. But it's, you know, again, it's the filmmaking, if you will, even it's television, but it's the I don't know how much money they put into this. But you're watching these old, you know, bombers take off from these airfields, and the footage and the effects and so forth are very, very good. There's some very good acting in it. So I hope you'll get a chance to look at it, because I'd love to compare notes with you on that. But, I think a couple topics can tend to get overdone. We've done so much on World War II. I think it's worth it. I think that that era is worth it. Are we overdoing it in your estimation, or does it matter when the story is a good story?
You know, I mean, ultimately you're right. It is, you know, if the quality is there, that's what matters. It is a subject we've examined exhaustively. You know, there's a part of me that says, yeah, maybe we should back off a little bit, but I do like the acknowledgement of what our country did, of what the stakes were back then. I feel like ignoring history is never a good idea. Yeah. And I just think maybe there are parallels that matter in today's world. And by the way, a quick note, I'm kind of dating myself. You know, when I was growing up, a TV show was cheap. It looked cheap. It looked like a TV show. It was no harm against TV. TV and movies were different. But today, most TV shows have huge budgets, massive special effects, the best actors around. So the lines are blurred completely. So when you mention how it looks cinematic, that's not an accident. And I'm sure they've poured a lot of money into making it happen like that.
I think Downton Abbey comes to mind immediately as far as that goes. I thought every episode of that was just gorgeous to look at, you know, and again, great acting and so forth. And that was a television show. It does not look cheap. Yeah, and I think it will likely stand the test of time. Before we finish out, I want to talk to you about Angel Studios and the things that they're doing. The Chosen has been sort of a phenomenon, I think. And I didn't really know much about it, but people kept telling me, you know, you need to watch this. It's a streaming show. And I'm like, what does that mean? You know, but I did watch it. And I think it's extremely well done. I don't know. Have you watched it?
Yeah, I've watched most of the first season, and I agree. It's a cut above most faith-based dramas. It's a beautiful story, and it is a phenomenon. I mean, they're putting episodes in theaters.
Yes.
And they're drawing a fairly significant crowd. In addition to the people who are streaming it, it's unlike anything else right now. And the quality is there. The storytelling is profound. It really has cut across cultural barriers. And, you know, and I'm a film critic, so I know what my other critics are thinking and what they're saying, what they're harping on. And they're pretty positive on The Chosen as well. They're not really sniping at it. So that's, you know, for mostly secular critics to really embrace a show like this or respect it, or both, it says something.
It's interesting to me as well that this Angel Studios, part of their business model is, you know, if you chip in $4, someone else can watch this. You know, it's almost like a crowdsourcing effort in a way. And clearly that has worked. It started as, yes, streaming. Then they moved that first season onto Netflix, which is where I saw the first season. And I just wonder how this is growing. What does it tell you, though, as a film critic, that this is a topic that so many people around the world are willing to sit and watch?
I mean, it's faith. And many, many of us are people of faith. And we don't get that served by Hollywood for the most part. And I think that's been changing a little bit in recent years. But so they're just filling a gap in the industry. You know, Angel Studios, I've been tracking them for years. It's a fascinating company. Their approach is often very eclectic. It's different. They have a very strong connection with their audience. They have the thing called Angel, I think it's this Angel Guild. I may be mispronouncing the name of it, but basically it's a group of subscriber type people. And they have a back and forth. They say, well, here's an idea we may make a TV show about. What do you think? And there's an exchange. And then they have a better sense of, okay, this will be popular. This will be successful. This is something audiences really do want to see, as opposed to just, you know, a movie studio just putting something out and hoping that people will rally to it. So I think you have that. I think the quality of productions have been top notch, which isn't always the case across the board. So it's a fascinating studio. And I almost wonder why Hollywood isn't maybe looking at that very closely and taking some notes, because I think they should.
That's a topic I want to finish with. Hollywood still seems, as you mentioned, we're getting away, at least this last season of award shows, getting less political. Mm-hmm. They seem to be understanding that people don't want that in their award show. Okay, check. That's good. Mm-hmm. But you still hear about the gift bags backstage for all the people participating at the Oscars were worth like close to $200,000 a piece. You know, people are lucky if they ever make that in their lifetime. Mm-hmm. So there is, again, this major disconnect. And it doesn't seem that really that the studios are still yet willing to say, Barbie aside, maybe, mm-hmm. even though that still had its woke agenda, let's just tell really good stories. Let's just make really good, high quality movies as the norm, as the way to reach out to fans. How much is that pendulum swinging back, do you think, yet?
That's much slower. You know, I don't mind that the rich and famous are rich and famous, that the Emma Stones of the world have far more wealth than I'll ever gather. You know, I think we're all okay with that.
It's capitalism,
and
right?
It's capitalism. It's glamour. It's Hollywood. Yeah. And it's always been that way, though it's much more pronounced today with the figures involved. But I do think the industry in general is still, there's a bubble mentality. And I think that does the industry a disservice. You know, I think there should be more outreach. I mean, just look at Disney. Look what they've done to their brand. Look what they've hurt their bottom line by being arrogant, by being disconnected, by being hyper-political, by injecting themes into kiddie programming that shouldn't be there. Right. And there's so many people just rising up and saying, no, stop, please. We love Disney. We don't want this to happen. And I think that's been, I don't think there's been a significant change behind the scenes there, at least not yet. So yeah, there's, that disconnect is real. It's profound. And there are glimpses of progress. You know, Nicole Kidman has been very, she has these AMC theater ads where she's, you know, inviting people back to theaters. Tom Cruise has been very magnanimous as a movie star. Thank you for letting me live out my dreams. You know, Dwayne Johnson, I think he echoes that as well. So there are pockets of understanding. But one thing I've noticed in this recent award season that I think the actors, with the strikes and with the economy cratering right now, I think they're starting to really appreciate what they do for a living, how lucky they are. And I think there's been a more sincere gratitude, person to person, speech to speech. And that's a hopeful sign. But yeah, I mean, if I'm any studio head, anyone in that industry, I would do a listening tour. I'd go to country, you know, city to city, and just have conversations, get feedback, find out what we want. I think that would help out.
Yeah, it would. Okay, before I let you go, here we are. We're recording this in March of 2024. Is there anything you're excited about as we head toward the spring and summer? Like there's something that's going to just blow our minds.
There's two films on my radar, which I'm very intrigued by. One is the Joker sequel. It's coming out later this year. It is a musical. It stars Lady Gaga as Harley Quinn. Of course, Joaquin Phoenix is back as the Joker. I just love that first film. Yes, it was dark. It wasn't a superhero film per se. It was more of a character study. But I just thought it captured something really, really gritty that I appreciated. So I'm just curious where they go from there. But much more coming soon is a movie called Civil War. I believe it's April 12th, if not there, around there. And it's about America in a civil war. This is the near future. It's a fighting war. There are states against states. Nick Offerman from Parks and Recreation is the president. And, you know, it's a combustible topic. We're so divided right now. And here we are seeing it at its worst. So I think as a cultural moment, it'll be fascinating. I'm curious to see what it wants to say.
Yes.
Is it a polemic? Is it progressive? Right. You know, yeah. A couple of years ago, there was a movie called The Hunt, and everyone freaked out about it. It was about a bunch of liberals literally hunting conservatives to the death, like a blood sport. And the movie was delayed, and President Trump weighed in. And then when you saw the movie, it was actually pretty balanced. It was really mocking both sides. And it wasn't as combustible as we all assumed. So I hope we all kind of wait till we see Civil War. But boy, you know, it's an uncomfortable topic given what's going on in the country right now.
That is one thing I will say about just going back to these World War II pictures that show Americans at their finest, the greatest generation. I sit there and I watch, and I know it's Hollywood, and I know these are stories, but they are based on truth and facts and storytelling that is real. And the way that people were willing to put their lives on the line for something greater than themselves is sorely lacking today. And I am starving, starving Christian for some unification, whether it comes from Hollywood, television, streaming, whatever. I would love to see it. But it's always a pleasure talking to you, and I'll be looking out for those films as well.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you to Christian Toto. As always, I like to say, be brave, do good. Yeah, you know what? If anyone from Hollywood asks you your opinion, give it to them straight. And we'll see you next time.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.